7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 61 of Color of Magic, your gaming and magic podcast where we talk about some of the, you know, harder issues that don't necessarily get covered on a lot of different shows. I am your host, Daquan Watson. And so far, for 61 episodes, still got my main man, Brian Allen, with me here. How you doing, dude?
You say 61. We just broke the Major League Baseball home run record, right?
That's what that means.
And I don't know about you. I haven't used any steroids. I am completely, you know, drug-free, other than caffeine. Dude,
if anybody saw my physique, they'd know I'm not on steroids.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
Though, to be fair, I got a pretty big cranium, so there could be some suspicion.
And if you're going to pick a sport to play and not look like you're in very good shape, baseball is the one. If we're
yeah, that's very true.
Nobody ever accused Babe Ruth of taking his conditioning regimen too seriously.
Oh, man. Okay, so I got to say, like, we've had some good discussion kicking off this week in our Discord. If you want to get access to our Discord, you can come support us over at Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. And we do have a new Patreon supporter this week that goes by Ryan UU.
All right. So
thank you, Ryan, for coming on board and supporting the show.
Welcome.
And also, we have another sponsor of the show. Or I say another, a sponsor of the show, the sponsor of the show, cardsphere.com. Great place to sell some cards right now if you're trying to get a little cash in time for Christmas. I can tell you from using their service, I send stuff out, have the money transaction done, usually in about a week. So you still got plenty of time. If you want to go through your binders, sell some of your rares, make a few bucks, it's a quick way to do it. And it's nice and easy, and you can do it all through PayPal on their website. It's pretty sweet. So check them out if you haven't yet. It is cardsphere.com. So yeah, this week, y'all, we have a lot of things we're going to cover. We have a lot to talk about. There is, man, it was a hell of a week. So I'm going to get right into this on the soapbox, because you hear the noise of the people. This is exactly what was going on in my head. So for those of you who don't know, there's a talk show that has Kerry Washington and Jemele Hill, who those of you that...
Kerry Champion.
Kerry Champion. That's her. True. Kerry Champion. Sorry. If you don't know these ladies, they formerly were on ESPN's shows, morning shows generally, but Jemele also did some other shows for them. And they've been around a little while, so they know their stuff. But just the other day, they decided to interview Jake Paul about his fight with Nate Robinson.
We use the term fight really loosely.
That's fair. Now, for those of you who don't know, Jake Paul, I mean, to put it bluntly, he knocked the soul out of Nate Robinson.
He did. He really did.
I mean, it's one of those classic times. You saw a dude out before he hit the mat. Like, he was just done. Like, just... He hit the mat and looked like a planking challenge.
I am not sure they had finished the pre-match national anthem.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, for real, it was just a flat-out ass whooping. I mean, it was. But then they opened the interview with Jemele asking him, do you think you knocking out Nate Robinson is racist? And to be fair, and here's, okay, I want to say this. Like, I am actually... At one time, I was a pretty big supporter of Jemele Hill. I really was. And I still think she's all right. But I'm not a big supporter of the Paul brothers for several reasons. But when you had me siding with the Paul brothers, I feel a little messed up. Because he was even like, no, like, why are we even asking this or whatever? And then at that point, it started to come off like maybe she was joking. But then she did that thing where, like, you tell a joke and it kind of falls flat, so you feel the need to repeat it, but it's still even less funny the second time. So she kind of tries to continue on with it. And he comes back and just says, well, this is kind of a stupid question. I mean, he uses more foul language. but this is pretty much a stupid question. And then she's trying to persist with like, well, no, it's not really stupid. Whenever he's like, yeah, it is. Like, we train as boxers. You get in there, you fight. Things happen, whatever, right? And then, you know, we kind of got through another question. Then it got tossed over to Carrie. And then she came back with the same thing. And it's like, what are we doing with this interview? Like, it was two dudes in a ring that had signed up to box. There's nothing racist about it. Like, and I posted this online. I said, like, is it racist if J.J. Watt goes and gets a hard sack on a black quarterback? Like, they're both doing the thing. They're doing their job. Right? Like, how is this racist? Like, this stuff bothers me because when we do have real racist issues, people talk ignorant like this and reference this type of crap. And it's like, this isn't racist. If Alex Caruso, who's a white dude that plays for the Lakers, goes and dunks on the majority of the NBA being black dudes, is that racist? Like, no, it's just a bunch of dudes and they're doing their job. They're boxers. Like, it's such, it just, you know, like just watching that annoy. And not only that, I think it even bothered me more because I actually have respect for, pretty good respect for both of these women.
Yeah.
Like, and I know they do good work. So I just felt so bad going like, man, y'all are both better than this.
I felt like they were trying, or maybe Jamel was trying a bit and she didn't discuss it with anybody else. And maybe Carrie thought we were going legitimate. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, the whole thing just came off terrible.
At least Jamel and Carrie should have talked about it beforehand. Like maybe they were trying to prank Jake Paul and figuring him being a goofy YouTuber, hey, he'll pick up. But no, clearly that's not the way it happened.
Yeah, it was just a bad interview. Like, the question didn't make sense. They harped on it. Like, obviously, the interviewee, in this case, Jake Paul, wasn't really following the train of thought going on. Like, it was just an ugly, awkward situation. It's like, there are a lot of racist things in the world. And we've even covered some on the show. Hell, we have one we're going to talk about at the end of this show.
Yeah, I got one on my soapbox next, actually.
So, yeah. Y'all are about to get doubled up on the soapbox here because this is a hell of a week. So, you know what? That's it. I'm just going to let you go, Brian. Like, it's your turn.
Over on my YouTube channel at DL Caesar, I just, the past week, I've been having a Gamergate, and I'm just going to call it because it's essentially some of the same people same type of people who were involved in Gamergate are giving it to me with both barrels. For anybody that hadn't heard about this situation, there's two black female content creators who go by Nay Saga and Zombie Kills. And when the new PS5 and Xbox Series X came out, everybody, I'm sure you saw all the people, hey, this is my unboxing video. And they both pointed out, man, there don't really seem to be very many women, very many people of color. You know, basically, hey, Sony and Microsoft, what's up with that? And Sony and Microsoft, I guess, looked at all the photos and YouTube coverage and said, you know what? Yeah, we did mess up and sent both of them consoles. And this triggered large portions of Reddit and the internet, and I made a video attempting to explain, you know, why it's important to have representation in media like this. So, yeah, it's been this has been going on for the past week and a half of their thumbs down, getting shouted down. Like, I've heard all from, like, I'm the real racist for pointing out that the launch lineup lacked color. I'm black and, which I think it's a good, I'm going to be like the new I'm not racist, but, you know, I'm black and I disagree with you, usually followed by some bizarre opinion. So, yeah, just that's kind of been my week, and it's been insane because even if, you know, if you just vehemently disagree that these black women didn't deserve these consoles, I question if you would be this angry if a white male YouTuber had received these free consoles and didn't maybe have 1,000 subs on YouTube or wasn't Twitch partner or what have you.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I'll give them credit, right? They spoke up, they pointed out, they went to the source, and they rectified it. Like, seems fine. I'm okay with that. I mean, I get it. Like, there's going to be even more backlash. A lot of them are upset they didn't get one, or the people they follow didn't get one, or whatever. It's like, whatever. Like, you can be mad for whatever reason you want to be mad, but, like, to ignore that there's an actual issue is just dumb. Like, I'd be fine, too, if I saw somebody else who was like, well, you know, can we get more people with these, I don't know, various disabilities to show that they have ways to use your system or whatever? That'd be good marketing.
Sony's, you know, a large part of their launch are like, hey, look how inclusive we are. Look, we made a Spider-Man Miles Morales game. Like, gee, it would have been great if you had sent it to some black people to review, was the point she was trying to make.
Yeah, see, now that was what I was going to come back to. Right? You can't be like, hey, look at all these efforts we're making. And then the big rollout, you just don't include folks. And it's like, well, how much of an effort are you making? Because it's going to call it into question.
That's one of the comments I've gotten over and over again. It's like, why does it matter, you know, if a black person reviews a console or a white person? And I'm telling you, my review of Spider-Man Miles Morales, when I am able to get one of these things and actually play it, is going to probably be different than a white writer's review. Doesn't mean the white author is wrong. Just means I'm going to have a different take because I had a different life experience. Miles Morales means something completely different to me and to my son because, for example, I didn't really have, you know, a Miles Morales growing up. We had Black Lightning, but Black Lightning was not, you know, he wasn't really the centerpiece. He wasn't the leader. He wasn't, you know, a Spider-Man. As being Spider-Man has, there's a lot that comes with that.
Well, you know, Well, we'll leave this open-ended because we're going to come back to this at the end of the episode because there's a lot that fits into that, for sure. But, Brian, beside that, what else did you learn last week?
Oh, I just realized that kind of, well, I didn't know I was going to talk about Miles Morales, but I'm putting two Marvel things together. I saw, and some of y'all probably saw too, that apparently Amanda Seyfried went up for the role of Gamora in Guardians of the Galaxy and I guess took herself out of the running, which obviously she regrets a lot now.
I did not know that.
But she really did have a good reason. It wasn't just, you know, I don't want to do this movie. She was, after reading the script and realizing, wait, you know, there's a tree and a raccoon. And she was just worried the movie wasn't going to make it. And, you know, as an actor, if you star in a movie that bombs, like, you get blamed for that in Hollywood. Especially if you're female. It could be your only chance to appear in a blockbuster movie. So she opted out.
You know, to be fair, I can't even hate her for that, though, because I remember when I first saw them, like, mention they were doing it, I looked at my wife and I was like, man, I don't know if the average moviegoer is going to be down with this. And she was like, why not? It's a Marvel movie. I'm like, yeah, but, like, there's, like, this experimental raccoon.
Yeah.
There's, like, a talking tree. She's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like, it's kind of a weird mix of characters. I don't know if people are going to be down with this or not.
Their comic routinely gets canceled when they try to launch. Even after the movie, I think they've been canceled again since then.
Well, yeah, and that was the thing. It was never a real popular comic to begin with. So that was something I questioned. So I could see how an actor who maybe, even if they know about the series, may not have thought it was going to be as big as it was.
It was a comic book that was really born to be a Disney movie.
Fair. I'll also say, though, like, but when they're looking at the script, that's also like 2-3 years ahead of time, a lot of times before we even see it. So it's possible that she was looking at it and, you know, we hadn't hit that peak Marvel movie thing yet where every movie was doing a couple $100 million or whatever. So that's a tough one. That's one you probably regret later.
And she would have no way to know how important Gamora was going to be to the overall story of Endgame.
Yeah, that's also true.
Because she wouldn't have seen that yet. You know, Gamora's, you know, I guess, I surely would not do a spoiler warning at this point. I would say anybody that wants to see Endgame has probably seen it by now. But yeah, Gamora's whole story is pivotal to how those movies work.
But you know, there's multiple actors that if you ask them, they'll say, yeah, this is the role I turned down. And man, I regret that or whatever. Everybody's got a couple. So yeah, what did I learn since the last episode? Well, there's a movie coming out, scheduled to be released January 15th next year, called American Skin. And it's a Spike Lee joint, so you already know it's going to be heavy. Because Spike Lee's either like, it's really funny or it's really heavy. Hey, that's what you get. But man, I got to tell you, like, if you talk about a movie that's going to try to tackle emotions behind police violence, man, and I posted about this on Twitter for those of you that follow me, but I literally posted, like, I got done watching, this is the first time I can remember, and I'm not even exaggerating, I mean, dead serious, because normally I watch trailers, I'm kind of like, oh, that looks like fun, or, eh, probably won't watch that, but this is, like, the first time I watched a trailer, and I just looked at my monitor for, like, 30 seconds, it was like, man, that's the first time I got kind of hype and worked up watching a trailer. And I don't even know if that's good or bad. Like, I don't know if I'm excited to see it because of what it's covering, or if I'm emotionally angry because of the way it made me feel, or I don't know. I feel like I'm feeling so many things after watching it. And maybe that means they did their job exactly right. Like, yeah. I have no idea.
I'm sure some of the same emotions. It was very, you warned me beforehand, like, yeah, you want to watch this now. So, you know, it's.
Yeah, man, it's. I'll let people go see it. I'll probably post the clip in our Discord just so people know what we're talking about. But there is concern about this type of movie being thing is like, do people watching it get crazy ideas? Do the people that are already on the opposite side of the issue using this as propaganda material to further recruit people? Like, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of that. Also, the fact, though, it's coming out January 15th. Most movie theaters aren't going to even be back to operating at 50% capacity,
yeah,
much less anything relevant, if they're even open. So you'll probably end up streaming it or something. So, you know, besides... I'm getting hyped up. I'm about to just like start cussing. But like, I would probably still watch this movie at home because I can only imagine let's assume magically vaccines happened in the next 2 weeks for everybody and we're all going to the movies mid-January. I don't know if I would want to go because I'm just picturing a bunch of people out there with their blue flags and, you know, and they're whatever.
Yeah.
Anti-Obama, blah, blah stuff. Like, to be fair, depending on where you are in the country, white dudes walking around with M16s or whatever. I don't know if I'd want that going to see a movie. I don't need that in my life.
I don't think a lot of theaters in the South would even show the movie because that happened when the movie about the Black Panther Party happened. A lot of theaters just said, no, we're not even going to bother putting it up. So I think that's what would happen, especially in a lot of Southern states.
You're probably right. I mean, this thing looks intense. I mean, even now, just thinking about it, I'm just like, man, I can feel like my heart racing or whatever. I'm just like, man, oof. This movie.
With a movie like that, you know, a theater can easily make the excuse, hey, we need another screen for, you know, Wonder Woman or whatever big blockbuster movie would be out at the time.
Yeah, man, I don't know. This is one that I feel like if it doesn't, I mean, unless it's just like awful plot, like, and they just showed us like the best parts in the trailer. Though I did hear, I guess it got previewed at like Sundance or whatever and got a good response or some such. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe it's a fine movie, but if it is, if this doesn't at least get a nomination, damn, man.
Yeah, let's be honest. Spike Lee's worst movie is probably better than a lot of people's best movie, if we're honest about it.
Now you got me thinking, like, what would I call Spike Lee's worst movie?
Well, that's probably one for, hey, in the comments on the Discord, Twitter, let us know what you think Spike Lee's worst movie is.
Yeah, now I'm kind of wanting to Google search Spike Lee's movies and just be like, what is the worst one of these I've seen? Because I have no idea. Have
one that they wish they could do over. Every actor has one, probably multiple that they wish they could do over.
Yeah. But to be fair, though, he also has a lot of movies I haven't seen. Because I remember, like, a couple of random ones. I think one's called, like, Crooklyn that I hadn't seen.
That's actually one of Tish's favorites. So, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen. So there's a couple. So I probably am not even the best judge of this. Because I bet if I go back through his library, there's probably, like, 10 or 12 movies of his I haven't seen. He's done way more than people think.
Yeah.
But all right, let's get into just some standard gaming content for the show. Because, man, we're going to finish on a rough note.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the Zendikar Rising Championships last weekend?
I did. It was a very, very interesting time. I don't know. Do we want to get into the technical issues now, or do we want to talk about the actual event first? Because I have a little bit of a rant about the technical issues. So if you want to cover like the actual event itself first, we can.
Let's just lead with like Brad Barkley winning, because that was the first Scottish champion we've had in a major Magic event.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, and dude, if you'd have watched like toward the end, people, I mean, they were just coming into the chat. Supposedly there was like different Discords blowing up that had a bunch of Scottish fans and players on it.
That's awesome.
And think about this. Like, it was like him making his final run in those couple of matches against Autumn. That was between like 1:30 and 3:30 a.m. in Scotland. And people were still into it. So they were all about him winning. Like they were trying to get their support in. And good on them, you know, because I don't know if I'd have been that supportive of anybody. I'd have been like, cool, dude, you won. I'm going to go to bed, you know?
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd watch myself in a championship at 2 a.m.
So, yeah, so credit to them. Credit to them for sure. Also, to Brad Barkley for not posting a loss in Historic all weekend.
That's an insane run.
Yeah, that's rare at the top level. Like, it's happened a couple of times, but it's rare for people to go undefeated in a constructed format like that. Like, especially one that's not a new constructed format.
Yeah, because, I mean, Historic is just, we've talked about how it's like busted combo versus busted combo. So to not drop a game in Historic with all the most degenerate cards still exist in our game.
Yeah, so he did a hell of a job. And, you know, credit... This is the other thing, too. You know, credit to Autumn for nearly winning another event.
Yeah. Because Autumn's run for the past couple of years has been insane.
Well, yeah. You know, and when you go back and look, I mean, you had Brad Nelson, who had another strong finish. You had Gabriel Nassif, who this is like his, gosh, I don't know, feels like his fifth or sixth deep finish in an event this year. I mean, people are putting in work. And this comes back to, and we'll probably cover this on next week's episode, but, you know, there's a lot of people saying, like, well, we need limited play back on top level Magic so we can frill see, like, the best player. But we're seeing the best players consistently finish deep in the events.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Like, I still think there is a place for limited play, and we probably should still be doing some of it. But... you know, we're not seeing a shortage of top-level players because we don't have limited play. This event, the top eight had four members of the MPL in the top eight.
Yeah, so I'm wondering who's thinking that we're not seeing the best players now, I guess, other than people, you know, that really, really love limited.
Yeah, I think it was like four MPL, like two rivals and two new folks, I think is what it was. I'd have to go back and look. I think that's how it broke down. So, I mean, you're seeing top-level play. So, overall, great. You know, and congrats to them. Because being able to finish consistently, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, but, yeah. I mean, it was just all around. The play-wise, very cool. The finals was a little tough from a spectator standpoint. Just because you're, like, either rooting for blue-white control to win and start making matches longer in Historic. Or you're rooting for goblins and nobody wants Muxus to win. So that was kind of tough. But the play between the players was really good. That's one thing I can say all weekend. Is there were a lot of spots where even watching chat, they're like, I don't know why they did this. Or I don't know why they blocked this way. Or and then like two or three turns later, like, oh, that's such a brilliant play. And this is, you know, 500 IQ, whatever. It's like, oh, y'all are nuts. You're second guessing players who, like we said, have done this. This is their, some of them, there's their second, third, fourth, fifth top finish of the year, you know, and you're questioning this person's play. Like, you got to give them at least benefit of the doubt. Not saying they can't mess up, but to just assume you're magically going to know more than them, you know, on every decision, like, come on.
And also, they're playing, you know, in the biggest tournament in the world, and you're judging this from your house. The stress level is a little bit different.
Absolutely true.
There are plays that you'll make, you know, sitting at home in your pajamas as opposed to, you know, yeah, you're a great Magic player. Then, you know, all the lights are on you and it's for, you know, it's for thousands of dollars. It's a little bit different.
Yeah. So, yeah, now, there was a big technical snafu that happened in the middle of the event. So I'll let you speak to that a little bit, too, because I think we're kind of on opposite sides of the issue. But, yeah, go for it.
Well, I was watching on Saturday. My wife was watching with me. And then, right, almost as soon as we started, they went down, and they were down for about an hour. And I will say the chat was definitely very entertaining. You know, there were some great jokes in there. But my wife especially is somebody, you know, that has played several card games with me but has never gotten into Magic. She's somebody I feel like maybe – she's in the demographic that, in theory, you should be able to convert somebody that has played card games and board games and enjoyed them. And she just came away with, you know, like, wow, that was just that was disappointing. Like, do you have to keep watching this? You know, and I missed opportunity there definitely to get my wife interested in huge plays. And it just seems like every time there is some kind of glitch, many of which could have been, if not prevented, at least mitigated by, you know, just because we talked about last week, hey, they didn't let anybody else stream this. So, you know, if somebody else had been streaming, then, hey, it's not as big an issue because obviously you're Wizards of the Coast. The second your stream is back open, you'll get all your viewers back. It could have been a huge moment for some other streamer if you were allowing other people to stream the event. You also wouldn't have had an hour of dead air.
I would also say this, though. I think if somebody else was streaming it, they would still be getting it from the Wizards feed initially. So if Wizards stuff went down, like they would still lose it.
I mean, even if you're streaming it, like, isn't everybody at their house playing?
Yes, but there wouldn't be anything to show. Like, I mean, you're not going to see other matches or whatever. Like, if you're watching, like, if we're playing, once we're done, we're just done. You know what I mean? There's not another match to go to or commentators to follow. Like, you're just down.
Because I wasn't sure, like, were they still, well, I guess they couldn't play matches because of power outage. But even, you know, having, and I forget who was playing when it went out, but even to have them on camera just kind of maybe talking about why they picked a particular deck would have been better than dead air, you know?
Yeah, now that part I agree with. Like, if there is an emergency thing to just have somebody have some content, would have been better.
Because we all know, you know, how many YouTube videos, and we've both worked with them before doing videos. So there's a mountain of other content that they could air if they've set up the backup plans or somebody's, you know, there's somebody off site. So even if they lost power, you can go hit a button at whatever other location and get some kind of content going. It's just.
But let me say this, though. This is kind of one of the things that comes with fans saying, well, no, but we want it live. Right? Like, a lot of events, and even a lot of gaming events, because I see it in fighter tournaments and stuff, right? A lot of them that are well-produced, there's some smaller production ones that are live, but a lot of them are either on delay or they're using recorded matches. And then they're just basically taking them. And that's how we do a lot of coverage even for Channel Fireball, right? Like, they're basically live, but they're just coming in on like a 15 to 30 minute delay, getting them ready to go and then putting them up. And as commentators, we're seeing them for the first time. So we're seeing them live with the fans, but it allows there to be some control on the back end. But if you want it actually live, you're going to get more live issues. You know, that's how you get, even in pro sports, you get the random streakers on the field that, well, they ended up on camera. Right? You know what I mean? There's nothing you can do. And when we've done stuff the other way where there's been delays or whatever so they could have a better production, you've had people complain because, like, well, how come the players can't talk about what happened or whatever? It's like, well, they don't want to spoil the results. right? So then there was people complaining about a gag order or whatever. And it's like, well, of course. Like, why would you want it any other way? And it sucks. I mean, I agree that there could have been something better than just nothing. Like, if there's any way possible. Once you're like 10 minutes in or 15 minutes and you know it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Just say, okay, is there a way?
10 to 15 minutes to try to fix the issue. But at that point, there's got to be some kind of cutoff where, you know, hey, okay, we've been down for 20 minutes. Let's cut to something else.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, can we just pop up somebody's laptop, put in the stream key, just let somebody else log into the site for the next like 30 minutes while we work on this. Right? That would have been fine. It wouldn't have been great. Don't be wrong, but it'd been better than dead air.
Yeah. That's the number one rule in broadcasting is anything is better than dead air.
But we also talked about this. So like, I still remember watching the Super Bowl and it was like 15 to 20 minutes were just nothing.
Oh yeah.
You know, because like randomly, like they lost power to a thing. And that's on the Super Bowl, you know? So when you're doing stuff live, weird stuff happens. I mean, it sucks. I mean, we prefer there not, obviously. I would prefer there not be. But it's kind of like, eh. And even despite that, I will say their numbers looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, they were streaming it in multiple different languages. Because I think I saw, was it 6 languages that it was in? There might have been more. But I swear I saw at least 6. And they all seem to be getting decent views. So if you take the
some people, I think I saw one of the Japanese streams because for whatever reason they apparently didn't lose power. I guess they had stuff set up some other place.
Interesting.
So people are jumping into like Spanish streams and Japanese streams, and at that point, my wife is looking to be like, "No!" Like, yes, I'm watching Japanese magic. I don't care.
But when you combine them all, they probably still got pretty good views.
Yeah,
all things considered. And I think that's one thing, like, I think we mentioned it before. It might even have been last week, where sometimes when people look at numbers, they're like, oh, well, their stream only got this much. It's like, yeah, but you're not looking at all the different sites that were streaming the same thing. Like, if you go take your time and combine all that, what do the numbers look like? Because I don't know. I haven't done the math. I didn't go look. So I can't even speak to that.
And almost like a movie, you got to look at what else launched that weekend. Did some streamer come back that's been gone for a month, or did a new game release, you know, that people wanted? Because I think some people had Cyberpunk already. So, yeah, you're not going to do better than that, you know?
Yeah. It's so weird, too. I don't get the recent hype on it, but All right. So we did have some other Wizards news before we get into some other games that they put out a statement basically to the effect of going forward, we're just going to make the characters and write the stories we want to. And if we have to, we'll just block the IPs or the feeds to certain countries. Namely, for obvious reasons, Russia and China. And a lot of people felt a lot of different ways about this. There were a lot of people that said, well, it's too late. You waited too long. There's other people that were, well, this is a good first step. Let's see if they follow through. There's some people like, it's just lip service. You know, the way I look at it is, this comes back to what we talked about a few months ago, right? We still have till like March,
yeah,
where we told them like, hey, we're going to give them like 6 strong months, 6-7 months. Say like, okay, what are we doing? Let's see some things put into place. And this is one of those things, right? We said, hey, they did wrong by everybody. And they said, you know what? Legally, we found the best way to do it that makes the most sense for everybody. Now, it's let's see what's coming forward. Because they did say, I believe next week or the week after, the Kaldheim stories are supposed to start coming out.
Okay, so be a good first step in seeing what's changed.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe that says that, hey, we have something in Kaldheim that may not sit well. So
yeah, the timing is interesting.
Yeah, so we're just preemptively putting this out here. Just saying, hey, this wasn't a thing we did last minute. We knew this was a thing, right? Because I don't know, maybe they have like some gay dudes that are Vikings or, well, I don't know, Icelanders or whatever Kaldheim is or whatever, right? Maybe that's a thing.
You know, and we had some. We're going to see if Magic Lore has some.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's possible. But like, man, I don't know if I've told this story on stream before. I feel like we've talked about it for sure. But there was a point And I think maybe I did tell the story on the show. But to bring it up again, there was a point where Wizards was doing a thing where employees could go participate in the Pride Parade in Seattle. And they were like, okay, well, let's at least make shirts for everybody so everybody looks uniform, right? And we can just be in the parade, do a thing. And they made shirts that had the ampersands, the D&D sign, the Planeswalker symbol. And I don't remember if that year they did Wizards logo. I think it was just Planeswalker symbols and the ampersand with a rainbow pattern across it. And they were like, okay, cool. We'll just make these for employees. You wear them out there. It's cool. No big deal. We're not going to monetize it. It's not going to be a thing. And then immediately everybody got upset that they couldn't buy the shirts. And it was like, all right, so you try not to monetize it and do right by everybody. Now everybody's mad that, well, obviously you knew people are going to want these. Why didn't you make them? So then they go through the process, find a way to do it, make the shirts, donate the money to, I think, to like the Trevor Project and one of the other charities for the LGBT community, which, great, good compromise, right? Took a couple weeks, but everything came together. You were able to order shirts, whatever. Now it's kind of like, if I'm not mistaken, they did it the last couple years too. So it's become like a yearly thing. But then there was also the follow-up of people wanted the symbols to put up on the walls and they're like gaming spaces in their stores. And they're like, well, why don't you have these for download? You already own the files for them because you made the shirts, blah, blah, blah. And like, that was a thing. But even then, one of the problems was, well, where do we put these up at that we don't risk getting people jailed or even killed, maybe, in some of these places like Russia or China? And there's a whole legal process to that, that you have to talk about, okay, what can and can't we do? What are the repercussions if we do these things? Is anybody affected business-wise if we block certain IPs or certain access to parts of the website? Like, it's not just a thing that you go in tomorrow and you just block access, right? There has to be a plan, and the company has to understand, like, everybody getting on board with, hey, this is what we're doing. We need to be sure that this doesn't affect anything else anybody else is doing, right? And it may be a case of, like, if you think about it, like, you have some translators, right, from China or whatever, that obviously you're translating into the local languages. So you get those people, and maybe they're using the sites a certain way, but if you block everything to China, well, now you have to have other things that they can use to get access to certain things or whatever, depending on how you're doing business. Not saying it's that simple, but there's things like that that you have to account for, or else you do risk breaking other parts of your system or causing more problems for more people if you're not prepared to do that. So it's good to see that in this case, they at least decided, hey, we do want to tell these stories. We do see how much our fan base was upset about it. We do want to bring stories back, obviously, as the Kaldheim stories are about to roll out. And we're going to do it the way we want to. And they found ways that works for everybody in their work chain, maybe even their supply chain, depending on who's buying what. And it seems like it's going to work. So we'll see. I'm going to not pass judgment one way or the other yet. We'll see what the story quality looks like when they come out. But good first step. Good first step.
What I heard was Kaldheim, gayest set ever, and it's confirmed. But we'll see. We don't know. There's really... Neither one of us has seen anything.
Let me say this, though. I wouldn't hate that just so we could watch all the appropriate people be upset about it.
No joke. The head explosions, it would come from that being the... The theme of the set would just, it'd be delicious.
Yeah, I'd be down. There was also a weird thing connected to Kaldheim this week where everybody, like, Wizards. This is one thing I do feel a little weird about. So Wizards put out their logo for Kaldheim that looks like a Celtic knot shield, is the only way I can describe it. And it has some, like, you know, etched Viking faces or something on either side, kind of like a chunk of metal that's been carved. Sort of looks like a wrestling championship belt. it kind of does. And they were like, oh, well, you know, here's the metal card back or blah, blah, whatever from Kaldheim. So people are taking that because it's one of those things where I think because people just saw those metal poster cards and then Wizards made that statement. Now they're like, oh, Kaldheim's going to be the most metal set ever. And it's like, I think that's more Wizards seeing how popular those cards were and then making a metal reference and just having a piece of art that makes sense. You know, because I think people are going to be upset when they're like, oh, this is going to be metal, it's going to be long hair, and it's going to be whatever, and like, it's going to be lightning and Thor, and whatever, and then when it's not, they're going to be like, what was this?
I do feel like there'll be a lot of long hair. I mean, Vikings.
Well, yeah, that's true. There probably will be long hair. Yeah, we'll see, though. I don't know. I don't really know what to expect from the set, to be 100% honest with you. I have no expectations at all at this point. I think it'll just be neat to see it, though. We'll see. So yeah, let's come back to Cyberpunk for a second. There was an issue this week where people were saying, I guess, and I haven't played it yet, but from everything I read, there's some task or goal or something in the game that's necessary to beat it that you can't complete if you have epilepsy, because it creates some type of red strobe type effect with this thing that supposedly causes some possibly causes epileptic seizures. They've announced the one thing I saw. So, hey, we're aware this is a thing. We're going back to try to work on it. We'll keep people updated. And then there were just these long chains of things about them just being ableist and not caring and whatever. And that, I mean, it is a little ableist, but I don't know if it's like ableist to the point of that makes them a terrible company. You know what I mean?
That's not the thing that makes them a terrible company.
Well, I don't know. Like, we'll get to that other stuff in a bit. But I feel like this is one of those things where, like, I think we talked about it before on the show, where, like, somebody makes a reference to an old black hymnal and doesn't know that's what it is.
Yeah.
So it's like accidentally racist, but it's not really racist. You know what I mean? Like, it's racist by definition, but not with hatred behind it. You know, that's sort of what I feel about this. Like, it's still a little ableist, but not the, like, vindictive ableist. Like, this is just, hey, we talked about this company having people getting death threats because they're working everybody to the bone to get it out as best they can, and they had to push it back months to make sure they could even get it produced. And now we're saying, like, well, y'all should have tested all this better and known better. Right? Obviously, you can't do both.
In fairness, some people were saying actually give them more time so you don't have to make your employees work 80 and 90 hour weeks and they catch things like this. But there were a lot of people who were giving them, like you said, were sending death threats. It was out of hand.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I'm not going to say they deserve a free pass, but y'all, as a community, video gamers weren't really giving them a lot of time. But, you know, I gotta be fair. Like, as far as I could tell, from when it was pointed out, they made a public statement. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I misread it, but it sounds like they accepted fault and they're working on it. So, like, can't ask for much more. You know, like, hopefully it gets fixed quickly, because it would suck if you have epilepsy and can't play the game and you're a big fan of Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
So hopefully that gets fixed fast.
I'm sure they will, because they don't need any more bad publicity regarding Cyberpunk. They have more than enough.
Yeah, and because we do want to get to some other things, and we're going to be running a bit long here with this last topic that we want to spend a lot on. I say, not this last, we have a small one, but our last topic we'll be spending quite a bit with.
Yeah, and I will talk about this in greater depth on my YouTube channel in a couple of days, so you're welcome to stop by there and find out more than you probably ever wanted to know about Cyberpunk and its various political issues.
For sure. And I seriously, if y'all don't follow Brian over on YouTube, go do it. It's DL Caesar, just like it sounds, letter D, letter L, Caesar, over on YouTube, because there's a lot to talk about here, you know, even from like trans issues and other things that are included here. So there's going to be some good viewing coming. You should probably go drop them a subscribe, hit the little button. Just saying.
Yep, because I'm told I don't shamelessly self-promote enough, so I'm totally working on that. Not gotta that it do it. Up to shamelessly self-promote. It just happened to be a thing that we were both talking about in relation to gaming this week.
I'm just saying, if you're in the content creation game, you got to be comfortable talking about yourself.
For real.
That's just how it works. Okay, one quick thing I want to throw out there, because I have a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances, a lot of, I don't know what you call them when they're one step away, friends of friends. I don't know, whatever the term is for that. Like, a lot of y'all are griping that you can't get an Xbox or a PS5 right now. And that part doesn't necessarily bother me. But I swear that every single time I see somebody post like, oh, I got this notification, I got to the website, I put my information in and tried to hit purchase, and that all took me like 45 seconds, but then I couldn't buy it because it was sold out. It wasn't in my cart anymore. All them damn bots are getting all these machines. And then I look at their threads that have like 50 to 100 people all having the same experience. All complaining about the bots. Now, don't get me wrong. There is some number of bots out there that are probably sniping a few of them. But think about this. If everybody else you know, or everybody else you don't know, is also having the same results, and they also have people that are 50 to 100 folks commenting in their Facebook and Twitter threads or whatever, think about how many real humans are just trying to buy them right now. Like, if you get a notice through your email that says Best Buy, Walmart, Amazon, whatever, has this Xbox or PS5 available, that probably went to at least 100,000 people, if not more. And there might have only been, like, hell, if you're lucky, 1,000 available. So, yeah, 99% of the people that went to it probably didn't get it. And it's not bots. And like I said, there are some. I'm not naive enough to say there's, like, no bots at all. But I'm just saying, just logically speaking, there is a lot of people trying to get Xboxes and PS5s right now. Like, it's phenomenal.
Can confirm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big number of humans. And this is something, and the reason we can also look back and say it's not just bots. Like, we can go back to before purchase bots were a big thing. Thinking about the year that we had the Tickle Me Elmo, that crazy collectible Barbie, the big Power Rangers toy that was all around the same holiday, right?
Yeah.
And these things were rolling out weekly to stores, and they were constantly sold out. Like, when you have just a mass amount of people looking for a thing, it's hard to score the item sometimes. Some of it's about just getting lucky. Sometimes you're in the store as they're unloading them, or whatever situation happens where you just happen to be there more than actually racing to the website.
There was, I forget what year it was in the 90s when, like, Ninja Turtles, Simpsons, and New Kids on the Block were all dropping hot merchandise that same Christmas.
And it was all sold out.
Yeah, it was Armageddon.
So again, I'm not saying, hey, don't be upset. Obviously, you really want one of these. It's Christmas time. Some of y'all are trying to score them for family or for kids. Obviously, some of them just want them for themselves. I get it, being frustrated. I'm just saying, like, it's just tough to see so many people, like, blaming it on technology or whatever. And it's like, no, there's just a lot of people. And each company has said, like, hey, we're trying to roll out as many as possible. They've got the factories running. But, you know, if a particular website or store only gets 500 this week or 1,000 this week, like, that's a big number for them to get. There's not a lot to be done about it, unfortunately. They're busting their butts.
And since you mentioned the website, this is a tip that, you know, comes straight from people that resell. Go ahead and go through your website, even if you more than likely don't get one, because a lot of the websites will still save your information so you don't have to go through the process of entering all that information in again. And that's going to save you easily 25, 30 seconds.
Yeah, and the last thing I found actually that was talking about PS5 Productions is they actually reduced their number that they were producing. I believe it was from like 15 million down to 11 million. So, I mean, that's still a significant drop when you're talking over, and that's not even immediately by Christmas. That's like next spring sometime, like March, April timeframe, that they're planning to have that many out. So it's just going to be a tight run for now. You know, every week there's going to be a couple hundred thousand that hit various retailers and various websites. But it's just, unfortunately, it is what it is right now. It's a bad spot. I feel bad for everybody because I don't need those systems to make my content. And I'm pretty patient on game systems anyway. I don't think I've owned any one of them within the first like 2 or 3 months they came out. So I'm pretty patient, don't really care. But man, it's hard when I see so many people like sad about not getting them. Like, people genuinely upset.
You know, this is the year when none of us, this is the other thing that has caused this shortage is none of us realize that how many of us would be out of work or off work for large parts of 2020. I would ordinarily, for example, be doing a bunch of Christmas shows for Murder Mystery, and we obviously ain't doing that this year.
That's a good thing to bring up, right? Because you have even more people than normal that would be looking for them, right? Because you have time, you're at home. People that are actually in front of a computer to even try to attempt to order it whenever they get the notification. Because it's different if you're at work and you get a little buzz on your phone and you're like, crap, I got to run up to my desk and I got to do a thing. Or like, they probably wouldn't even try because they knew they wouldn't get it, right? But now, if it's just like your phone buzzes, you're like, sweet, hop into my office or bedroom or whatever.
Yep.
Pop open the laptop, see if I can score it, right? So I'm sure that's happening for a lot of people. But anyway, yeah, it's just a weird situation. It's tough. I hope all of you that are trying to get one of these systems get your hands on one because they look really cool. But I think I'm just playing the waiting game and not even putting that stress on myself right now. So now that we hear the plates.
Yep, I was about to say, here's some dishes.
Man, okay. And I told people, like, this is going to be a very personal segment here. And we haven't had one like this in a while. But... And I'm just going to tell you, if you don't want to hear any foul language, this is probably the part where you want to cut the show off. And not even just from us emotionally, because something may slip out here. But there are some things I am going to quote that are pretty, I mean, they're foul, vile, maybe, is a better word. But to put this in perspective for you, there's a person that Brian and I both knew. Well, both know.
Yeah, we still know him.
And this is somebody who's been at events with us, somebody who's been at parties with us, somebody who's worked for me in the past, you know, been at family stuff. So we thought this person was cool. You know, we thought he was down, right? No issues. And far as I knew, he's never treated anybody differently. There have been no signs previous to this, I guess is what I'm saying. Which is what makes it very, like, a deep cut.
Yeah.
But it starts with him making a statement, kind of, I guess, trying to be funny or kind of tongue-in-cheek, or I don't know what's going on, but basically saying to the effect of, well, all the community that gets upset about gender roles being wrong or whatever, how are they not going to be upset at, I guess, Elliot Page of Juno fame being, I guess, the Umbrella Academy is probably the more recent thing people know them for. But they came out as being, I believe, transgender. And how is that crowd not going to be upset by that or whatever? And if they're going to be mad about all these other things. Now, obviously, that's not the same thing, right? This is somebody who was already in the role. They're now trying to just live their truth or whatever and be themselves. So, cool. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, they were in the role to begin with. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't change anything. The actor is still the actor. So I'm trying to explain this and just say, like, okay, well, here's kind of the deal, right? It doesn't really matter for these reasons. Blah, 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 blah. He comes back with another thing. And I try to explain. I said, well, it's more about representation. Right? You don't take roles from people that are written for those people because you take away opportunities. When you start talking about giving those opportunities, being able to build wealth, being able to help bring up others in their like communities or whatever, those situations become more dire when those opportunities never present themselves. So then we started talking about Scarlett Johansson, I believe it was, taking the role in the...
Ghost in the Shell.
There you go. The anime movie. And that was a big thing. Before the movie even came out, as soon as people heard about it, obviously it was like, well, why did we not cast an Asian woman in this role? Right? Plenty of Asian women. Hell, plenty of name Asian women that we've had in multiple movies that you could have chosen. Right? We could have found many that could have done the job. Hell, we could have found the Lucy Liu's of the world or whatever. You just don't want to give somebody new a shot. Hell, I think Lucy Liu was even in Charlie's Angels or something, wasn't she?
Yeah.
So it's not like she can't do an action flick even. But even then, you know, his comeback was, well, that doesn't count because she was just bad at it. Like, if she was good, it would have been a different story. And it's like, no.
Same story. Like,
exactly. Like, we're not worried about, like, the performance. It's the fact of the matter that a role that would have worked better, fit better, was written for somebody of a different culture, you opted not to give them that role in place of a white woman. Like, that's it, right? That's the end of the story. So then he brings up this whole thing with Robert Downey Jr. doing the fake blackface thing in Tropic Thunder or whatever. Which one? Robert Downey Jr. did catch a little hell for that.
He did.
But the stories all came out, too, that that was also Jamie Foxx's idea. So that does change the narrative a little bit.
And also, the whole point of the Kirk Lazarus character is that he is so determined to prove that he is a good enough actor to portray a black man that it never occurs to him that he shouldn't.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it, right?
He's an idiot, basically.
You're right. You're right. That's also the other part of that story of the character is when we get to the back, like, quarter of the movie or whatever, he basically says, like, this is kind of effed up.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't be doing this. Like, so there's even the character building of that character going like, well, I started out, you know, being a dude disguised as another dude playing a dude or whatever it was that he said, right? But we end up with him going like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have been doing this. This is kind of fucked up.
And another actual black actor helps him make the realization.
Yeah. So, like, again, not the same thing. And then the kicker, because at this point, he's not one to have, like, a good faith conversation at all. Right? Just not wanting to hear anything about representation or whatever. So I'm kind of already about to check out of this conversation at this point. And I'm realizing the other people chiming in, right? Because now I'm starting to look at the other parts of the conversation. As a matter of fact, there was a quote from one of the other people who posted when talking about Elliot Page and just said, male, female, doesn't matter. Nobody wants to fuck it. And that's when I was just like, this is who he surrounds himself with now.
Yeah.
And he didn't come out and say anything against them. He didn't delete their comment. He didn't, nothing. And that's where I'm going like, man, part of me feels like the dude I know previously that man, at one point I might have said like, we were down, like he'd have been there for me. Now I don't even know. Like, literally, I like, this is somebody I have known for hell, long ass time. Well, more than a decade at this point.
Me, almost as long.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm probably going to have to remove this person from my life. Like, and I don't know how you felt when you saw that.
Well, you know, the thing, I mean, I was repulsed as you were, but the problem is, you know, as I've discussed on the podcast, I had the same situation happened with the moderator for my Twitch stream, somebody I've known for probably 3 years at this point, where they just had a whole bunch of extremely racist views that for whatever reason I had never heard about until now. And I'm talking about, you know, we are, I guess, not only work together every day on Twitch, but I mean, like, share pictures of our families and our kids with each other. And again, somebody I considered a friend up until this happened. So it's just, so this is my second experience in the past, I guess, what, 6 or 7 months like this.
Yeah, and I think it's hard for people to understand, like, how, like you start to question a lot of things. You know, like, okay, well, were we ever that close? Like, how do they really think of me? Like, and, you know, and just like you're saying, like, these are people that, you know, we've had personal moments. You're sharing pictures of family. We've been at each other's, like, birthday parties and celebrated, like, anniversaries with people and whatever. It's like, was this all window dressing? And some of this I get. Like, I went through and I saw the other people. And you see the other people he's surrounded with and the sites they're on and the groups they're part of. And significant others that are deep in on the right wing stuff. And it's just like, what the hell is going on? So I guess I bring this up that when you have a person of color reaching out to you or in your spaces or somewhere where they may be one of the few people of their background trying to participate in your community, there's a damn good reason they're skeptical.
Yeah.
Because stuff like this happens. And I wish I could say this was the first time. This is just the one that, like, probably the longest term friend or acquaintance or that it's happened with.
Living in Texas, I can't even say it's the first time this week.
I've had it happen quite a few times, but it's with people, like I said, I may have known like a year, 2 years, whatever, but this is one that, like, it really bugged me because I'm like I said, I mean, even now I'm starting to get like, but
I get
this.
It
is somebody literally like we've shared hotel rooms, loaned each other money, like, I mean, you know, just treated them almost relative level. Like, I don't know if I'd say we were family. I don't know if we were that close, but like not far from it at one point, you know, like celebrated his victories with his hobbies and everything else. And it's just like, what's the deal, man?
My wife all the time talks to me about, you know, I don't understand how you can be friends with so many Republicans. And again, you know, it's where we live and, you know, my coworkers, contrary to what you hear in the media, all actors are not liberal. It ain't even close. You know?
Yeah.
I know a whole bunch of conservative actors. I work with them.
I keep a lot of them close just so I know what's happening and what's going on. And I understand language that's being talked about and different terminology because there's stuff otherwise I wouldn't be exposed to.
And I should also clarify that I don't believe that everybody conservative is my enemy or that everybody Republican is racist. So many of my conservative friends that we argue about are, you know, economic issues, policy issues. We're talking about when you believe, you know, when you say things like that you believe Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group. Okay, that's where we're going to have issues. Or, you know, that you don't believe that transgender people have rights. That's where we're going to have an issue that we're not going to be able to get past, in my opinion.
Apparently, if you don't think representation matters at all on any level.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's, ugh, man.
If you think, you know, Zombie Kills and Nene Saga are, you know, pieces of crap because they said, hey, nobody black seems to have gotten a launch console, you know, were you aware of that?
And let's be honest, like we've talked on the show before about representation, right? That even just us doing what we're doing has mattered to other people already. But I think about like, even when we go back and look at shows like 24, when I saw President Palmer and I'm like, dude, they went with a black dude for president. And it wasn't even that it was just a black dude for president. It was that I'm getting to watch a black dude as president in a key role in a show. Arguably, probably the second most important role in the show at that point. He also wasn't just the stereotype, right? It wasn't like he just has this crazy background. It's like, no, he's educated. He got elected, like doing all the things that a president would do.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. We wrote a normal role for a black person to be a top important executive within this plot.
He was not Kiefer Sutherland's black best friend in the TV show. He's legit the president.
Yeah, for multiple seasons. And, like, that has an impact. When other people go like, you know what, maybe I could go out for this role, or maybe I could try this thing that people don't normally get to do. And even for the actor himself, after that, you know, he got to be in the other NBC series that got a few seasons.
Yeah.
You know, he's now the Allstate guy.
I think like, at this point, more people know him from Allstate than 24, because 24 has been a couple of years.
But just think about that, even for him to start getting these voice actor roles and all this other stuff, like some of that may not have been possible without finally getting that big break of a key role.
Because he's always had an incredible voice. The voice hadn't changed over the past 20 years. He just needed that opportunity to get into, you know, to get into everybody's TV set.
No doubt. No doubt. But to just say that representation doesn't matter at all, like that it shouldn't matter. You just go get the best actor and put them, and arguably it's not even the best actor most of the time when that stuff happens.
Yeah.
Let's be real. You know, when we come back to talking about the Miles Morales Spider-Man stuff, you know, there's so many of those things. And we've said it before, like when you don't, like, it's so hard to get people to understand that haven't had to deal with it. But I try to get them to understand, like, imagine every single comic book you read, every single fantasy novel you ever read, every single fantasy movie you ever watched, not having a person who looks like you. Not a one. And I watched Willow. I watched Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I read a bunch of D&D novels. You know, like, not a one. And if they were, they definitely weren't one that mattered.
They were the black best friend.
For real. Hell, you know, people. And then, man, I'm trying to keep this as clean as I can. But when you say that stuff, I have people that throw up like, well, they had Lando in Star Wars. Like, what? That's your one? That's what you're going to throw at me? Like, really?
And we love Billy Dee Williams. Don't get us wrong. And we love Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. But
even then, you're talking about Donald Glover getting that role is, hell, 30 years after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, that all matters. When you're talking about inspiring people to do things, to participate in these things, donate money to these projects or whatever, like, it all matters.
And, of course, the people that say, well, just cast the best actor. Remember that time, you know, they cast Michael B. Jordan as the Human Torch? Oh, my God. People lost their minds.
Yep. People were mad.
Yeah, I don't think.
And even, like, the Human Torch, is anybody even important?
Yeah, Human Torch is, in comparison to, say, Superman or Batman, that's like a D-list superhero. And I say this as a lifelong reader of the Fantastic Four.
And people were still mad. But again, when you go back and look through the Fantastic Four series, there's no black people. There's not one. And the book has some absurd number, like 700 issues or something.
Black Panther was a Fantastic Four character, but I mean, he didn't. It's just in recent years when he started getting the really huge push to the forefront.
That's fair. But yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard. And when you think about how hard it is to just have these conversations with strangers, when you're trying to educate people or try to have just normal conversations with people you don't know, it's way harder when you're trying to have this conversation with somebody you didn't think you needed to have this conversation with.
Yeah.
Because, man, I'm not going to lie. Like, it kind of messed me up for a couple days. And I'm a pretty good, like, let stuff roll off my back, just move on, whatever kind of person. But this one messed me up pretty good. And maybe it was just a matter of, like, you know, I was dealing with a cat that had emergency surgery and, you know, I had a bunch of projects to handle or whatever. But
as somebody that's still kind of fresh off of my incident, no, it messes with you. You wonder, you know, like, am I a bad judge of character? Like, did I not, you know, did I not vet this person properly? You ask yourself all the questions.
You're right. I mean, I really did. It was like, I literally went through and started like, well, let me go back and read through some messages. Let me go through some texts. Let me go through my timeline. Like, were there something I just didn't see? You know, was I like being used for something? Was it just a convenience thing? But, you know, even looking back, I'm like, I don't know. Everything seemed normal. But then I guess 2020 happened.
Yeah. As you were talking about, you know, I still had some of the messages from my former moderator and I'm just reading it back. And I had to say to myself, you know, if anybody you hadn't, you know, worked with and been friends with for 3 years sent you the same message, how would you react? And that's how I had to look at it.
Yeah.
Because if anybody I didn't know had come at me like this and sent me a link to Candace Owens explaining why black people are just more naturally disposed to be criminals.
But yeah, man, I feel you. Like this. When you talk about, like, man, you hear people say, like, man, that cut me deep. Like, man, this one did. Because like I said, I can't think of a thing, at least publicly, that we probably hadn't done. I mean, shared meals together, you know, the whole nine. And then to have that come out, and not even, like, I think it's more bothersome because it's not even to the point of even what was said. It was the fact that it's somebody I have built up trust with, and we can't even have a real conversation.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you had relatives die, and we've talked about it, and whatever. And we can't even have a conversation about representation?
Religion and politics are the two topics, you know, to avoid if you want to keep family and friends. And it's just so true.
But that's the thing. This shouldn't even be political.
Everything, unfortunately, especially at this time in America, is political. Even Thanksgiving dinner was political.
Yeah.
Because, you know, me
wrong.
Because, you know, as I found out recently, there are Trump supporters, like multiple Trump supporters in my family. And yeah, that, you know, that had me feeling some kind of way. Because even the decision, because I didn't want to have Thanksgiving dinner. I don't care what your political process was. I didn't want anybody in my house. And then even that, you know, was a thing that we had to fight over. And it became political. Because, like, well, I don't understand why you wouldn't, you know, want your family in your house. And, like, I don't want anybody in here. I don't care if it's Halle Berry. I don't want any extra people in here. That's where we are right now.
Well, let's not even talk about the thing we're celebrating at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, all of this just. So everything's political right now. And I mean, I don't want it to be that way, but it just.
And it's tough because, like I said, I know people. And I know even, I mean, a lot of white people that are good people. And it sucks for them because they get questioned or judged or put at arm's reach because of situations like this.
Yeah.
And I know there are times I have done that even subconsciously when I didn't necessarily even want to. They're like, the person hasn't even done anything to make me think that way. But the problem is you get burned by enough situations like this.
Yeah.
That you're kind of like, well, you seem cool, but don't know if I want to invite you over to my place yet. You know what I mean? Like,
or, I mean, if they're a police officer, our default setting kind of has to be, I have my guard up.
Yeah. I know a couple of people that are officers.
Yeah.
But we've had those serious talks before.
Mm-hmm. I remember one time in Shreveport, they felt like I wouldn't, you know, generate enough cop stories. Like, why don't you, here's the bar where the cops go hang out. Why don't you just go over there and buddy up to them? And I couldn't explain to my bosses, primarily white people, why I wasn't comfortable doing that. And they weren't comfortable with me doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, this isn't going to go the way you think it's going to go, boss. It just isn't.
Yeah, there's been multiple times something like that's come up where I've looked and been like, ooh, I probably don't need to be over there. But yeah, I hope this didn't come off as the two of us just being on a whiny tirade or whatever. But I felt it was worth talking about. Because these are the type of situations that happen behind the scenes. And I'm sure people are listening to this and they're going to say, like, oh, man, I totally get that. You know, and there's going to be other people that are just like, man, that sucks. I didn't know stuff like that was going down.
Yeah.
And that's great. It's for either group, whether you relate and you just need somebody to sympathize with you and understand where you're coming from, or an opportunity to learn that, like, hey, this is why some of those things come off that way, or this is some of the behavior some of these people have. And just to understand that, because it's not easy. But anyway, Brian, why don't we tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
All right. I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram.
And as always, you can find me at Power Dragon, PowerDragn, just about everywhere. But you can come see me on YouTube every day and on Twitch 3 times a week, or just follow me on Twitter where I have a bunch of ridiculous stuff that gets posted. But as always, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. and at least for a couple more months till we get our vaccines, please, everybody, wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans. Even if you think it's dumb, do it for us.
If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us at our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.